Good evening, and welcome to KBOO's forum for the candidates running for the station board of directors. KBOO is a democratic institution, and our board of directors is elected by our members. If you are a member and have not yet received your ballot in the mail, please contact KBOO membership department by calling 503-231-8032, extension 207, during business hours. If you have received your ballot in the mail, pull it out and follow along as we hear from the different candidates during the candidates forum. This will be a two-part forum with some candidates on from 7 to 8 tonight and the other half from 7 to 8 p.m. tomorrow night. In addition, all of the candidates have been invited to participate in a reception for board election candidates on Saturday, September 12th from 4 to 6 p.m. just down the street from KBOO's book and record sale. KBOO's voters are invited to stop by after the book and record sale. The address is 2105 Northeast Everett, number 4. And if you have any questions for the GET candidates this evening, you can call us at 503-231-8187 at any time during the hour.
And just in case you didn't know, yes, indeed, this is your community radio station, KBOO Portland at 90.7 here in Portland. I'm Celeste Carey. I'm joined here with Cecil Prescott, and we're hosting the forum today. As Cecil has said, we do have some of the candidates. We did anticipate having more, but we are working here today with Marty Shurman and Judy Feistel. Good evening.
Greetings.
Good evening.
We have questions for you. We hope that you will call in, perhaps, and relay questions through our engineer. Because we only have the two candidates, I guess it's more time to get to know them and to unpack issues for which they are interested or to find out more about their platforms.
So let's begin. Judy, what is your interpretation of the KBOO's programming charter, and what would you do to live up to that charter?
Well, my interpretation is that we are a community radio station, and that's what the charter talks to. It talks about that we'll have different voices on the air than mainstream radio would have, so that all the members of our community will have access to the radio, to the airwaves, and we allow and are seeking the information from different groups within our community, and that it should be a diverse community. It should look like what Portland looks like, and maybe even richer here. Often it does look richer here, actually, at KBOO than it does walking around Portland, which is one thing I really value about KBOO. And then the other thing is just in terms of arts and culture, that will have different kinds of music and cultural events than the mainstream media would be letting people know about. And then music that I think we have an extensive, for anybody who hasn't been here, we have an extensive CD library. It's that's one of the fun places to bring people when they go on tour here. And what I tell people as they walk in and see these thousands of collection is that, well, we have no pop, we have no classical. KBOO started as a classical station, but we have everything, just about everything else. So it reflects our programming charter gives us the mandate to air those views that aren't heard regularly, that people don't have access to regularly, and giving a voice to those people as well.
Thank you. And Marty, your interpretation?
Well, I started in broadcasting many years ago, and in Chicago. I grew up in the Chicago area, and I lived there for most of my life, and I've been here about 10 years. I worked for some large stations, and I worked for some small stations. I remember the first station I worked for was WTAQ, a suburban station. And it was a commercial station, but it was a brokered station. You got on WTAQ by paying your $90 or whatever for half an hour or an hour of time, and you could do anything basically you wanted. And that was my first impression. I wasn't very familiar with community radio, but that was commercial community radio. And I never forgot about that. That gave people the opportunities to get on the air and even make money. And there were minority viewpoints, and I thought that was very effective. And I never forgot that. And I come here to Portland, and of course there's KABU. And there were some things that I learned about community radio, and I would like to do that again and learn from what I learned at WTAQ. What else can I say? Certainly the music library here is immense, and it's much bigger than the WLS library, which was a very large station in Chicago. It's very impressive, and I just enjoy the diversity, and we need to be concerned about diversity, I think, and not have just two points of view. There are many points of view. We need to constantly watch that all points of view are given an opportunity to get on the air here.
Thank you, Marty. And we do have a caller with a question. Good evening, Grace. Thanks for calling in and participating in the Candidates Forum. And I understand you have a question for us. Well, since we dropped the call, so we'll ask Grace, please call in. And if you would like to be part of the Candidate Forum and call in with your question, it's 503-231-8187. Allow us a little bit of time here just so that the candidates can finish their statement. Or feel free to leave the question with the engineer. Give him a brief idea of what it is you want to ask, and he will forward it to us. Next question here has to go with how you've prepared yourself for serving here at KABU. What have you done to educate yourself in board roles and procedures, as well as the issues and the unique problems facing community radio in general and KABU maybe even in particular? And we'll start with you, Judy.
Okay. Well, I've been on the board now for over 3 years. I was appointed in the spring. I'm not sure what year that was, but it's been over 3 years ago. And as many board members who start here at KABU, I didn't really know that much about board service and about nonprofit organizations. And just like so many things that happen at KABU, we get trained and we get educated about it. And then that following fall, I was elected to serve this 3-year term, and this is what is closing out for me right now. And during that time period, I'm pretty sure I was member at large for a little bit, and also then vice president. And then when the president resigned, they sort of looked at me, and all of a sudden I jumped into the president role. And that's been over a year's time that I've been doing that. So I think, you know, it's been an education on the job, and it's been very intense, and also a very rich experience for me doing that.
And Marty.
Well, KABU is a very unique place, and I don't think there's any real training for KABU, and there's no preparation that fully prepares you to be here. I have been on various boards and have had elective positions before. My first position was a union steward back at WLS for my engineering group, mm-hmm. and I was on the executive board of an IBW local. I am now currently a school board member in Colton, Oregon, but none of those prepare me for doing this. This is a unique place, and it takes a while to fully appreciate the uniqueness of KABU. And I have been appointed as a board member here, and I've just for like 3 months now, is it?
Something like that. Not very long.
And so I'm just getting started. I'm just getting my feet wet, but I like the people here, and I see some opportunities.
Both of you asked some questions, or rather answered some questions, and gave me room to ask for some follow-ups, kind of unpack
right.
it. Mm-hmm. Now, first, I want to get back to what you said, Marty, about you feel that because of the uniqueness of KABU, it's kind of hard to know how to prepare for service. And I'd like you to kind of explain what you mean. Do you mean in terms of being flexible, or are you saying that perhaps being a union board member or a school board member really has no relevance, because we do want people to come in with some measure of experience in serving in a community structure, a community-based structure. But I'm curious as to what you mean about this, nothing that can prepare you.
Well, most organizations, if you work for a company or if you're a member of a board, there's a pretty focused focus. What you're trying to do is pretty well defined. And here, KBOO is kind of a bit of a catch-all, trying to cover some ground and give people an opportunity of various backgrounds and experiences, so that, and there's not enough airtime to provide for everybody, and sometimes there's contradictory needs. So trying to get this lot more balancing going on, it has to be done here, which is not easy. And I think they've done a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could probably do a little bit better. Am I answering your question?
Well, not exactly, because I'm thinking, well, board members don't really serve except in the programming committee with regard to programming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, am I correct, Judy? Is that still pretty much?
I'm not sure exactly what you're saying.
Okay, what I'm looking at is, what kinds of skills do you think a person who would be interested in could bring, and would those skills be relevant? I do appreciate what you're saying, that you have to have a certain amount of flexibility and you can't have too many preconceived notions about what service will be here, because mm-hmm. you do have to think in terms of, well, what kind of outreach do I need to do? Are we living up to our charter? What about succession planning? How are we looking after the staff? So there's certain skill sets I see could be really valuable. But at the same time, I do appreciate that there's a certain X factor to serving here at KBOO. So I'm just trying to draw out where you're at so that people listening get a fuller picture. When we say, well, there's nothing that could prepare you to serve at KBOO, that might scare somebody away. They might think, oh, what's the point? But I think that's something just to unpack and get a little bit more understanding. Cecil, you look like you had a thought.
Well, maybe in terms of uncovering what Celeste is trying to seek, what particular skills do you bring to the board, and what skills have in your service has proven helpful?
Right.
Okay. I don't, do you want to start off, or
no,
I'm fine. All right.
Give me more time.
That's all right.
I like
fair
to
enough.
Be your first.
Fair enough. Okay. So, in my time, it's sort of like I liken my service on the board and my education in regards to that. It's sort of the same parallels how I got involved with KBOO. I started at the receptionist desk at KBOO, you know, answering phones. And then I started to learn about engineering or board hopping and doing interviews and producing pieces and, you know, just sort of the whole gamut then. And the same way with the board, that I started with baby steps. But I think so what it is having an inquiring mind, being open to other people's points of view, and, you know, having a real desire to see the station improve. I think those are all really important factors. And then we work in concert, you know, we, as a board, I think you had alluded to something, I wasn't exactly sure what you had said, but we have representatives on all the different committees, not just the programming committee. I wasn't exactly sure what you were saying. So we can sort of people with their different interests. But you were asking me in terms of my interests
just
in that
your
regard.
Your interests and skills.
So I think I'm a good team player, for one mm-hmm. thing, and that I'm really open to hearing other people. I've learned about we've been going towards a more consensus decision-making on the board, and I've been facilitating those meetings as well as leading them and setting the agendas and things like that, and that's been a real learning process for me, just, you know, understanding that we come to much better decisions if it's not just, you know, three people voted nay and, you know, six yay, and why did those three people not vote that way. Oh, well, they bring this in. Oh, well, maybe we can adapt that and then come to a much better decision. And so those are all things that I've learned being on the board. And also not being afraid to speak up, even mm-hmm. if your voice is not in the majority. I think that's really important. But to do so in a really respectful way and not hurtful to other people who may differ, and realize that your viewpoint's going to be different from other people's viewpoints. And I think that's, and to value it.
Without being contradictory on purpose, you know, or adversarial. You just have a different perspective.
Exactly. Okay. And that's life. That's humanity. We have different points of view and different ideas. And then being willing to stand together as an organization once you are on the board, once a decision is made by the board, we have to, as individuals, even if we weren't, you know, that gung-ho about, you know, whatever was decided, as a board, we do stand together in regards to then following through what the board decisions are.
And that was Judy Feistel, who is a candidate for board of directors here at KBOO. And now Marty Sermon, what skills and interests do you bring to the board?
Well, first, I have some engineering experience and training. I have some business training. I have a business degree. I have run my own business for a while here in Portland, Audiovisual Supply, and we sell and rent audiovisual equipment and service. So I think I have a pretty diverse background, pretty diverse experiences, and I think we have a diverse board. And I think what we want to do is combine the skills of each of us individuals, and create a sum which is better than what any one of us could do by ourselves. And I also had to point out that I think that this our star is the KBOO member. And it doesn't matter what we think; it matters what the KBOO member should have, as far as we can tell, which is sometimes not necessarily easy to tell. Certainly,
yeah. Thank you, Marty.
Yes.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is a candidates forum. A second candidates forum will take place tomorrow evening from 7 to 8 p.m. You may call if you have a question for our candidates who are present tonight. They are Judy Feistel and Marty Sermon. Our phone numbers are 503-231-8187.
And we'll move on here to another question. You've talked a lot already, both of you, about committee participation and how important it is as a part of your service to KBOO. If elected, what type of time commitment are you going to be able to make outside of board meetings? And yes, that sounds kind of frightening. I know we're asking for extra time, but I think the idea is adding the richness of your experience on the board, and then also just a little bit more leadership opportunities in other parts of KBOO. So what type of leadership role can you take in committee work, and what kind of time commitment are you able to make outside of board meetings?
Want me to start again?
Yeah, I'm going to give you Marty the benefit here.
Okay. I like that.
All right. Well, being board president is like a part-time job, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to continue as board president. And as you, I think you had mentioned, Cecil, about, you know, or I'm not sure who said mm-hmm. it, but, you know, it is important to train others and to give others the opportunity to step forward,
yes,
and to
planning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Maybe it was you who said that. And it'll be the next board that decides who the next board president is. So I don't think I'll continue with, you know, at times 20 hours a week. I mean, really, it's been really overwhelming for me. So I'm looking more towards 2-3 hours a week. And
besides the board meetings.
Yeah, besides the board uh-huh. meetings. And I have sort of two interests. And so when we come together as a board, we have to sort of look at all of our skills to see who would be best to fit in what. I know one thing that all of us need to start stepping up to do is being involved with fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Not my not my favorite thing, but I am interested in marketing. That is something that I am really interested in, and I can see areas where I think that we can really improve as a station. The other interest is I originally did serve on governance and was involved with the getting past the bylaw that allowed us to remove a member. And unfortunately, on my point of view, is Scott Forrester, who is running for the board, was removed last February under that bylaw. As a continuation, maybe not as a continuation of it, but another bylaw that I'm interested in seeing get passed and bringing forward, but it's not on the election now, and it has nothing to do with this election, but it's something that I'm interested in. It's that right now, anybody who is a member can be a candidate for the board. And there's like no obstacles. You can be thinking 11 o'clock at night before the deadlines, oh, I think I'll shoot off this application. And in the past, we've had people go on the board, get elected to the board, who actually had dropped out a couple of weeks early. You know, there's like, there are no kind of roadblocks. And also, you know, on this particular ballot, there's three people who happen to be banned from the station. Those three people are Scott Forrester and Glenn Owen and Michael Papadopoulos, and for different reasons. But so I would like to see some sort of procedure in place that there is still people can gain access. I think, you know, people, we want our membership to step forward and to empower people to serve on the board. But we'd like it to be a thoughtful process, and I have some ideas how we can do it without limiting people, but perhaps getting... we have a lot of great candidates, so I don't want to, you know, to be misheard in that regard, but just so that I think it'll improve the whole board picture.
Let's give Marty a response, and then we can explore this deeper.
Okay. Marty, same question. If elected, what type of time commitment are you able to make outside of board meetings, and what type of leadership role will you take in committee work?
Well, that's always a problem, and I'm certainly prepared to invest quite a bit of time. And sometimes I have 80 hours of commitments with 40 hours of time. And the problem is when they all come at the same time, the requirements all come at the same time. One of my problems is that I live quite a ways away. I live down in southern Clackamas County, which even presents a travel time for me. On the other hand, that also puts me near to people who are probably quite interested and fans of KBOO also that we're away from and we should be near to. And so... But I have certain skills and experiences, and we might talk about remotes as one of the areas that originally got me here to KBOO. I've been spending some time with that and preparing ourselves to do better with remotes and equip ourselves properly. I'm not answering your question, and I'm not sure.
Well, I was thinking of another way to ask, since you said you live so far away. Maybe the question might be, for you, what would you do to improve outreach into those areas and maybe organize those areas, maybe have an outlying cell group or something that represents that? So would that be a committee offering from your perspective?
Yes, absolutely. And I need to learn more about what we've done with those groups. I haven't had a chance to do that yet, but I think... We need to learn and work from there. But I know there are people down in my neck of the woods that are KBOO listeners and are fans.
Okay.
Can I make a comment?
Oh, yes.
Just in regards to committees, there are the bylaws have listed, you know, certain committees that we do have. And so there are lots. There is so much that we can get involved with. And, and it sounds like that would be more, I don't know if it could be an offshoot of like the development committee. But you've been, Marty, you've been very active with the engineering committee, which has been a really valuable asset for us. for your serving on the board. Sometimes, so that's been real appreciated.
Sometimes we have to adjust what we do depending on our skills and interests. I think our each board will be different depending on who's around.
Exactly.
You're listening to KBOO. This is a board of directors discussion with two of the candidates for this year's ballot. They are Judy Feistel and Marty Sermon. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Please call in if you have a question or comment for the candidates. There will also be another candidate forum tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. We invite you to continue to listen to that program, too. Both of you alluded to either internal struggles or challenges that KBOO face. So the question, to make it broad and yet one in which you can be more specific as you want, how would you describe the internal culture of KBOO? And what would you do to make KBOO a more welcoming, inviting environment?
My turn first.
Judy's been going first for a while.
I had to put you on the spot. You had to jump into it, Marty.
Okay.
And then I tell you what, you have a moment to collect your thoughts. We do have a call. I'm getting the high sign from the engineer. Let's take this call first, and then we'll come back, and you have a chance to answer that question. Good evening. You're on the air. Okay.
About
okay, caller, can you hear me? Would you start all over again, because we were only just now able to get you up.
Okay, here. Okay, hi there. I do have a question for both of the board candidates, and that is recently there was a situation here in the station where a staff member was let go, and there was very little, it was kind of done, it was very under bad circumstances. Clearly a lot of policies were violated, some bylaws were violated, and there was not much transparency. And I would like to know what both of these candidates are willing to do to ensure that processes are transparent, that there's accountability, and that this public process, because in this particular situation there was very little public process. Only about two people really made the decisions, and then kind of swept some other people who really didn't know what was going on into it, and it was a mess. And so we really don't want that to happen again, and how is that going to stop?
I can probably talk to that.
Okay.
Just because I'm board president, I sometimes get more involved with some of these things than Marty would be sitting on the board. And that was a very unfortunate situation. I wouldn't describe it exactly how Grace described it. But the board did send out a letter to the community in regards to it. And, my interpretation is that, well, what happened, just to be real specific instead of, talking generalities, is that Toni Tabora Roberts was laid off of her job in anticipation that the outreach department would be closed up. And then I think I had talked in regards to the need for the board to step up involved with fundraising, but the station too needed more infrastructure in terms of fundraising capability. And Sun Lee, who had the halftime interim development position, is now full-time interim, I think it's called development and public relations, but I'm not exactly sure of the exact title. And I don't believe that, and people will be very upset with me saying this, I'm sure, that actual policies or bylaws were broken in regard, but good faith definitely was broken.
Judy, it was a bylaw was violated because the personnel committee is actually supposed to be involved in personnel issues and concerns, and so there were the bylaws violated.
And so this is part of the lack of transparency that you alluded to?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so in regards to, I agree with that, that there the policy wasn't in terms of how we look at personnel. This is, I don't think I can talk to you know, legal or illegal, and I really don't want to talk in that regards, but I do want to talk in regards to how we treat people here at KBOO, and this shouldn't have come around as a shock to the employee herself. She's done valuable work for KBOO, and it wasn't a reflection on her work that this happened, but more in terms of the station manager, who has expressed apology in regards to this, and how it was handled, did not handle it correctly, and he came out with that. In regards to that, it's you know, it's the good thing about our volunteer milieu here is that we come to the table and we have more or less experience. I have a lot more knowledge than a few weeks ago in regards to employment policy or whatever. The board really didn't enter into the termination of the job, so I'm not saying that we advised in any way, because it really came to as a surprise to the board that it had happened already, kind of thing.
Well, this goes back to a question that Cecil and I both had asked with regard to how are candidates preparing themselves, and not to put anybody in the hot seat, but it speaks to a need for a certain skill set above and beyond a love and dedication to KBOO. As you indicated, Marty, you've got business experience. As you indicated, Judy, you know, you've served on quite a few other committees yourself. And so I'm wondering, as we look at our candidates, as you said, what kinds of processes do we have in place so that we attract and bring in people who have the skill set, and not someone who is suddenly and passionately stricken with a desire to serve, you know?
Well, I think one thing, if you want to say something, Marty.
I know, but so you go ahead.
Well, let's give Marty a chance.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thank you, Judy.
I'll speak to the termination. Unfortunately, there was a special workshop that I did not attend where some of this was decided, or not decided. And
I workshop or a session?
Yeah.
It was a we had a budget retreat.
Okay, so a session.
It was where there's a lot of things that happen at KBOO that we sort of discuss first, and then things change. So another example, I'm sorry, I'm jumping in, just is like with the finance coordinator position, you know, that we talked about it in closed session. How we hadn't had a real finance coordinator at KBOO for 3 years. We had somebody, the last person hired had really messed up our books tremendously.
So you have fact-finding sessions.
Yeah, and we was sort of like, where do we want to go to, or what direction? And so then the station manager has an idea. Oh, yeah, we want to go in this direction. But then a board member went with Arthur to the person acting as interim. I don't know that he was called finance coordinator, but he was in that position, and talked about the situation. He thought, hey, great. He wanted to step out and do this other thing where we're now able to pay somebody a little bit better as a finance coordinator. It was discussed with the staff. You know, everything went around. So in terms of having the retreat and talking about something, we do that a lot before we bring it and then go through personnel committee or this committee. You know, like, where do we want to end up? Because a lot of these things is confidential. We can't be talking about people's jobs in front of everybody.
Right, and you have
that's
certain responsibilities under
okay,
Oregon statutes.
Okay, I'm sorry,
statutes.
Marty, I'll keep quiet.
So, Marty, to continue.
The board has a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. There's never enough time to do it. And sometimes there's just not enough time to discuss everything fully and make sure there is no misunderstandings. And sometimes that works out just fine. Usually it works out just fine. But sometimes it doesn't. And I think I hate to point fingers because I wasn't there to see the gears turning. But it seems to me that was a terrible misunderstanding. And on both sides, on the part of the board, perhaps. I can't say because I didn't see that happen. and on Arthur's part, the general manager.
So would you both agree that one of the things you'll be working for and maybe taking some a leadership position in is reviewing our processes that we have in whatever your specialty areas are and making sure we have processes that are impartial and as transparent as possible, and if nothing else, also clearly laid out so that whether it is a volunteer or staff person or volunteer still, but a different volunteer, the board member, those three categories will be able to have a better understanding of what the expectation is or how to get to a goal. Is that a fair request of both of you?
Can I just say...
in that question?
We make mistakes. I've seen mistakes happen. And often they're not very serious, and sometimes nobody notices. But sometimes you really step into it. And and I've seen people see that happen. And I've seen that there is a concern, and I think usually when that happens, unfortunately it has to happen sometimes, but when it does, I think we learn from it. Mm-hmm. And I think that sort of thing will be much less likely to happen again. And unfortunately, we have to step into it sometimes before we learn. And we need to do better about doing that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to belabor this point, but since this has opened up and these concerns were raised under both of your watch, what changes within the board itself? What things do you need to know better? What skills are missing from the board as board is composed of now? How do we make the board better, stronger?
More able to address some of these.
Not keep quiet when we see there may be a misunderstanding. That's one thing, I think.
Well, I know. In terms of what did I learn personally from that, because I was at the retreat, and we did discuss it theoretically. At the end of the meeting, I would have done, okay, so this is where we're at. What is the next step? Where are we going to next? So then everybody there would have an understanding, and if I had said that, then I would have heard from Arthur saying, well, the next day he was going to inform Tony that her position was going to be closed. And then we could have discussed it. But we just sort of left it there, assuming, because anything you do in closed session is not an action. We did not do an action. Mm-hmm. And so Arthur knew that he had the general support to start working in that direction in the right way. Like Grace said, it needed to go through personnel, or at least the least it needed to do was to go to the board of directors to discuss. We like to get the input from committees, but sometimes we jump into something that didn't come up through a committee, and it just gets brought up at the at the board first. So mm-hmm. I don't know if I answered it, but.
Okay. Well, although this is immensely interesting and helps us get a little better understanding of what some of the challenges are that individual and committee board committees will face, we do have a caller, so I want to interrupt it for a moment just so we can take the caller, get a question. And then we've got a couple of wrap-up questions, and hopefully what we've done in this short amount of time is at least give people an idea of how to ask questions of their candidates and what types of goals and objectives we'd see.
Tell me how to ask questions.
So we go to our caller. Good morning. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks. This question is for Judy, and it's a really specific. It's easy because it's a yes or no question. So my question for Judy is, Judy, did you discuss with Arthur prior to the retreat Tony's dismissal?
Well, we didn't talk about it in regards to her dismissal. So I'm sorry, I'm not saying yes or no. You know, we've been talking about a lot of things at KBOO.
Well, did you discuss eliminating her position?
Yes.
And eliminating her job prior to the retreat?
Yes.
Outside of the personnel committee?
Yes.
But a job needs to be, there's a process for a job being eliminated and the employee currently working in it, isn't there?
Well, I think I just explained how some things happen around.
But there is a process.
There is a process.
And the process wasn't not followed in this case, is that true?
In many cases, it's not followed.
In this specific case, was
Carla,
the process
can,
followed?
Carla, can I add a rider, if you will, to this? I know, having served on the KBOO board, I served for 10 years and as board chair, sometimes things come up when you're either trying to set agendas for meetings or set agendas for work sessions, and you may not work in it in depth, but it still may come up. Are you, caller, asking, was a conversation had that directly had bearing on this, or was this just kind of a setting of an agenda? Is that what you're getting to, so you can get a little bit more to it?
Well, I already feel like I got that question answered, so my last and final question is to Judy, in this particular instance, regarding the job and the employee, was process followed or not?
It was not followed.
Okay,
and
thank you very much.
Okay, and just to add that the last two job changes that we've had, which is originally Andrew Geller had development and membership coordinator, and the board a couple of years ago had funded a position as like an, I'm not sure what he was called actually, it was membership assistant, or I'm not sure, that was Sun Lee's position, and we discussed the reorganizing of that position before talking to anybody else, and we talked to the staff people themselves, so there's a lot of times we talk things through and then we air it, and that was the problem with Tony's situation.
Now, was this within a committee structure?
No, it was not through a committee structure. But then we did bring it to a committee.
Okay.
So we sort of generated ideas, brainstorming in privacy. A lot of these situations we are not able to discuss in open session because it violates people's privacy. So, you know, and in regards to what you're saying is that... you know, we have several people running who have been serving on the board, and, you know, it becomes a real, you know, these people have that advantage now. It's very hard to come in with that knowledge, but each of those people have had a huge education in regards to how we don't want to be doing things here at KBOO.
What do you think the consequences for any board member acting outside of the board and representing the board on their own, which of course would be a violation of policy and process as well. What do you think the consequences for a board member who does that should be?
I don't know what you're asking, really.
Well, when a board member acts out individually on their own, outside the process of the board, without the board's knowledge, without the staff's knowledge, and without the appropriate committee's knowledge, what do you think consequences for a board member that does that should be?
Well, I'm not sure what you're alluding to. I think it's Rabia, right, who's on the phone?
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Yeah,
a question.
I'm just
when a board member.
I can tell you what happened in February. We did remove a board member who was acting on their own and what we felt was very harmful to the organization. That was Scott Forrester. And we did have a hearing. We had a full hearing here at the station. We took testimony in regards to the person. And then it was a unanimous decision to remove Scott Forrester from the board. But unfortunately, is a candidate, so he has the ability to get on the board again, even though that happened in February. And then he's banned from the building, Michael Papadopoulos, and he are in on a lawsuit against KBOO, so both of them are banned from the building. And then Glenn Owen also is a candidate, and he's banned from the building. But if the membership does vote them in, they will be board members, and so I guess we'll have some new territory to cross.
What
I hear you saying is that when a board member acts beyond their abuse of power per se, or abuse of perception, operates outside the boundaries of consensus committees, the board, or with staff, that possible removal should be a consequence?
Yeah, there should be a hearing and consideration of the evidence. Yes, definitely.
Thank you, Paula.
Okay. Thanks all.
Okay. While this is really interesting to help us get at some of the underlying issues and challenges that are not only unique to KBOO but general to any board, what has happened has opened up another consideration. Given the fact that any democratically based, community-based organization is going to face these kind of challenges and is going to have to deal with personalities, competing needs, competing interests, lack of funds, and all of the friction is going to come of that, why do you think someone who listens to KBOO should support KBOO? And since we're kind of short on time, I'd like to hold you both to about 3 minutes max on that. So hit your high points. So we'll start with you, Marty.
Why should I support KBOO as a member?
No, not you. Why should anyone outside listening? Okay, gotcha.
Why should I? Well, I'm not sure, and I need to learn more about this, Judy. I think we need to find more ways for input to come into us. I'm concerned about, especially community radio, there should be as much coming in as going out.
What do you mean? As much what coming in as going out?
Information, input.
Okay.
We shouldn't be. We're broadcasters, but we spew out a lot of stuff, and I'm concerned that more doesn't come in, and it's awful hard with a community radio station with so many diverse needs. It's hard to do that very well. But we need input from our listeners, from our members, and maybe with that, the members will work harder to promote us, to tell their friends about us, to tell them how they were helped by us and why we are being here made their life a little bit better. We need to encourage our listeners to become involved more with us and vice versa, I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything you'd like to add? Is that it? Okay. And Judy?
I don't know if I heard this in one of the pitches during Pledge Drive, but I kind of liked the idea of it. You consider maybe you don't need to use the library at certain times of your life, but you support the library. And Multnomah County is our population is very supportive of the library. In the same way, I see KBOO as a real treasure and a real vital part of our community. We have about 50,000 listeners now. Not everybody's going to be able to come down and, put forth some time. And, 10%? Maybe almost 10% of our listeners are contributing financially, which we desperately need. And so they may not, not everything they hear they may like. And they may disagree with things, but it was real interesting when the Iraq War started. It was probably the war in Afghanistan started. Our membership soared, our support soared, because people realized that what a treasure this was to hear things that we wouldn't be hearing in other places. Well, now, I mean, things are still pretty awful out there in that world, but it's not the crisis that people are feeling. And so there is that less of that intensity in regards to support for our station than we had seen in the past. But if everybody really thinks about it, well, when something really goes down, don't they want a place like KBOO that they can tune in and listen to and hear what's really happening rather than waiting 6 months down the line before hear about, I'm real bad at remembering names and stuff, but what is that security group?
Black Hawk Security.
Blackwater.
Thank you. You know, that rather than waiting 6 months before hearing what was happening with that, and just time and time again, I'll be hearing on KBOO much earlier about things, little nuggets of information. So, anyway, that's why.
There are treasures here at KBOO, and we need to find a better way to let people know what they are. And I ask that our members take a little bit more effort to uncover them, because I think there's something here for everybody. It's a wonderful place.
That's true.
We only have a couple of minutes, and I want you to say why you want to be a KBOO board member, and how, if someone has a question, they may contact you to follow up.
I think I hate missed opportunities. I hate to see things that I think could be done and are not done. And I think there are many opportunities which we haven't explored. I would like to see us make sure our sphere is as big as possible, and that's always an ongoing problem. Sometimes we're better at rejecting ideas than we are accepting new good ideas that are unusual to us. So we need to work on that. I was going to say something else more important than even that.
Okay.
Well, my train of thought was derailed.
Okay. How might someone, if they want to talk to you more, how might they contact you?
In fact, I set up an email address, and I would like to know what you think, and I would like some input on some of those ideas. Now, there may be a whole bunch of them, and I won't necessarily get to all of them, but there may be some treasures out there that I want to hear, The skill that I need to develop is to be able to find the idea and let people know and talk other people into good ideas.
And your email address?
KBOO Ideas, KBOO Ideas at MartyMarty.com, MartyMarty.com.
Thank you.
KBOO Ideas.
Well, thank you, Marty. And Judy?
If anybody reading the ballot, they saw my statement, and I really did decide to run again when I was suspecting that Scott Forrester was going to run again, because it was the only way to get out the information that Scott Forrester was the person who was removed from the board in February. And then subsequent to that, I want people, you know, we want people to vote. They should vote for whoever they would like to. But, you know, at least with full knowledge that Scott Forrester was removed from the board, Michael Papadopoulos and he have decided to do this lawsuit that is costing our organization thousands of dollars. And then Glenn Owen is somebody, and all three, but Glenn Owen for a different reason, are banned from our station. And there are people who have been banned from our station who then work through a process to come back to the station. And we have some very valuable volunteers who have done that here. And none of these three people have worked through that process. And that is really why I'm running right now. I wanted to make sure that information is out. And we've had the gift of being able to appoint some really great board members during this time who are running, Marty being one, Nia Lewis, who's now our secretary, and Paula Small, very valuable asset as our treasurer right now, and I wanted to make sure people knew about that.
And how might people contact you?
Okay. Not from my choice, but on the ballot. My email address is out there, and I've already been contacted by some people. My middle name is Arielle, A-R-I-E-L-L-E, with the number 3, Arielle3@yahoo.com.
Excellent. Well, we want to thank you for taking time to bring your concerns, your interests, your strengths, your challenges, and your dedication to KBOO as a board candidate. We want to thank everyone who called in, and we want to thank the listeners. And we want to thank our engineer in there for holding down the fort.
That concludes the first half of our candidates forum. Stay tuned tomorrow evening for a forum with candidates Michael Papadopoulos.
Papadopoulos.
I'm sorry, Michael. Brian Stevens, Kella Henry, Paula Small, and Chris Andre. That's from 7 to 8 p.m. tomorrow on KBOO, your community radio station.
And this is indeed your community radio station at 90.7 here in Portland.